I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number,
1-900 Wrestling!
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara!
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
And his name is John Cena!
Well, look at this, prima donna!
Thank God Donald Trump's a whole idiot!
Welcome, everybody, to 1-900 Wrestling, show all about wrestling with me, Willie Dills, a.k.a. Willie Rowan, I guess. It's a Halloween edition, and I'm joined by the one, the only, Lane the Main. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me, man. Good to be here.
Also known as the Blue Laney.
The Blue Bastard.
Yeah.
Let's just go,
yeah. It looks like you've recovered from your JBL pounding to the face, which you took
at
ECW.
Hold on, I have to get up a minute.
Oh yeah, no, he's going all out with the Blue Meanie costume. It is hot. Well, it's 2 days from Halloween. By the way, before we start the show, if you want to support this show, if you want to participate in the 1-900 Wrestling community, we have a Discord and it's fantastic, and it's for patrons only. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling is where you can find out more about that. Or if you just love the show and you're enjoying watching the content, the sweet, sweet content we're putting out. There's a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about, but one thing, and I'm glad you said that. It's, of course, I've been really nervous. If you watch week one of the show a couple weeks ago, I've just been open arms. People have got me in because it's hard, like, with Justin leaving for a little bit, coming back every now and then, and you going in and me basically filling the seat. I've been welcomed, and it's been a scary but really, really good process, and I just want to thank everyone for that.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, so I was watching I was at work, but this was cool because I was watching on my iPad the first ever in the history of all of wrestling, if you listen to what WWE says,
yeah.
The first ever all women's pay-per-view. Of course, you know, in Japan, they've had a few already and stuff, and Impact has had some.
Yeah.
So yeah, not really, but WWE pretends like they're the only company in the world sometimes. But the first ever WWE all women's pay-per-view last night, I was watching it on my iPad while I was at work. So it was really nice to be able to dip into the Discord every now and then and just be like, hey, who was that who jumped in this match there? Because I don't have any audio on. So it was really sweet to have that as a resource. So it's the coolest thing ever.
You and I did the same thing then, because I had a show. I had a wrestling show Saturday, so I was beat.
Yeah.
And then Sunday, going to Evolution. I'm like, please just update me on everything. So I love our Discord.
Yeah, it's great. All right, so let's talk about Evolution, man, because
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and say it, and I don't think I'm alone. This might be my favorite pay-per-view of the whole year.
Really?
Yeah. I think it was that good.
I think it's two or three for me. Probably
well,
two.
Well, actually, there's probably some evolutions that... some NXT takeovers that...
I really like Royal Rumble. Like
Royal Rumble was pretty sweet this year. Yeah, with the women's one and all that. Yeah, yeah. That was awesome. Nakamura winning, all that shit. Yeah, it was great. But this was, okay, maybe not top, but this was up there, man. Like,
well, I think this is the most consistent. So Royal Rumble for me, I can tell you the Royal Rumble for the men's and women's, can't remember really anything else.
Sure.
This pay-per-view, consistently good.
Yeah.
Like, overall, I could not think of a match that I didn't want to watch. Well, maybe going in,
The only one I wasn't super excited for, but turned out to be great, was the Riot Squad, Sasha Bailey and Natalya.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it just wasn't like a lot that I
There's
cared
no
about.
Like,
it was just a, yeah, it was just like a fun match, and they've been feuding, but it's kind of odd to me, honestly, that we somehow got to a point where Sasha and Bailey were in a six-woman tag.
Yeah.
And Asuka was in a Royal Rumble. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like it was like, if you told me that 2 years ago, I would have said, no, these are the headliners of the whole show. But that being said, all of it kind of made sense. Like, the where we've come as far as women's wrestling and WWE, this was like a fantastic showcase. I really hope that the feedback on this is such that they just start doing these consistently, because
yeah.
It was
and
awesome.
Let's break it down. You want to break it down match by match?
Yeah, we'll start with the Battle Royal. It's not a Royal Rumble. It's a Battle Royal. And
was that
a
first
couple
or was
things.
That second?
I don't think it was very first, but it's the first on my list here.
Yeah. Okay.
So I want to break down, I want to talk about a couple things that happened in this. One is that all the women came down individually and had entrances.
Yeah.
That was cool. That usually doesn't happen.
Like a Royal Rumble. I thought it was going to be like a...
like a 30 seconds and then they run in type of thing?
Yeah, because at WrestleMania, what was the... it was the Fabulous Moolah, and then they switched it, remember? And they all came out, I think, with no music. But no, this was really good. And each... because I think you got to give each one... because they each help develop this evolution, like this women's revolution, each one individually. And it was really, really good.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it made it so that each of these women who were, you know, all being essentially thrown together into this one match just to kind of get everybody on the card, all got their moment, right? So
who was that was really one? Important. Who was the... was Alondra Blaze? Was she...
let's see. I'm not sure. So let's see. I'll give you all the people here. Tamina, Billie Kay, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Asuka, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Carmella, Lana, Naomi, Tori Wilson, Michelle McCool, Medusa, Molly Holly, Ivory, Kelly Kelly, and Maria Kanellis.
Who's Medusa?
I don't remember who that is. Medusa. I don't know. Medusa. Ooh. I don't remember. So again, I was watching this with the sound turned off. So I kind of caught moments here and there, but
really good.
I really want to go back. I missed the promo that Mandy the Rose Iconics did at the beginning.
Dominated.
Yeah.
Like 6 or 7 eliminations, I think.
Oh, wow.
And it was all like older, like she, and this is what people, this is the feedback from the old Royal Rumble, like the first, like the earlier this year, the older talent, like the, they were calling it past and present talent. Is like, what is it? Past, present, future, or past, present, now? What's their the slogan?
Then, now, forever?
Yeah, then, now, forever. And that's how they were doing it, is then and now. And then, so the, you're right, the Iconics come out, and of course, they're like, we're going to win. And of course, what happens?
Everybody gangs up on them.
Yeah. Everybody gangs up on them. And then what's really cool is they kind of did what the men's did in the earlier, like earlier this year, they did the older women get in a circle in the middle, and then the younger talent circle them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, spreading out. And that's one thing, too. Maria Kanellis was with the past talent. And I'm like,
she kind of is. I mean, she left and came back, so.
I think people remember
her. She's still young.
I think they remember her for her, like, past stuff, because where it's been rocky since her and Mike's came back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, with the addiction stuff and everything. But Mike has been really good on 205 Live since, like, recently, anyway.
Yeah, and I think that's what, she did a DDT in this match. That was like perfect, but it was a lot like, it was a good mix. It was a really good show. They did like a really good match. It was Tamina and Nia did like a monster off, like how we always see like Kane, Big Show, whoever. That was really good. And I hate comparing them to the men sometimes.
Yeah.
But it's just stuff that we've seen before, like the little things, like comparing. But we didn't get like a crazy Kofi Kingston spot like the Royal Rumble, like how Naomi kind of took over for that.
Sure.
I'm trying to think what else. Michelle McCool got pretty close to the end. Man, she looks good. Like, I mean, talent wise, like she looks like she's stronger than ever. And that was on commentary, too. So it was Beth, Michael Cole, and oh, gosh, what's Dean Ambrose's wife's name?
The most popular woman in WWE.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. We'll go with her. hopefully chat will provide that. But yeah, so they kept talking like these women have came prepared for this.
Renee Young,
thank you. Gosh.
Took me a second.
Thought I would, you think
it took me a
but
second
it got
too.
To the end. The end was Nia Jax and Ember Moon.
Yeah, but you also had a moment there where Asuka was there, too. Didn't Zelina Vega have a... she came, like, back into the ring? Yeah.
So, Ember Moon and Nia Jax were, like, on the outside. Like, they were working about, like, a double... like, they were going to pull both each other... like, both of them out?
Yeah.
And then Zelina did, like, a double draft kick type thing to try to get both of them out. And she thought she won. And then Nia comes in and just...
So Nia wins in the end, and does she get like a title shot or anything for this? I missed if there was a stipulation.
Yeah, she said they get a title shot in the future.
Okay.
Didn't say when, but in the future a title shot will be had. So, but yeah, Zelina was celebrating. Nia comes in and just like picks her up and just tosses her out, and then of course hits Tamina because that's a really big drop.
Yeah.
But everyone, like Ember Moon, had a giant chant. Like everyone, like people think like she hasn't really had her shot yet, like in NXT since she's been up. But then Nia got the W in the.
And I'm okay with that. I think, you know, it's funny because we had Nia and Bliss and stuff for a while, and that was like, you know, I love me some Alexa Bliss. Like, that's not mince words here. That's my girl. But it's a little hard to watch those two go at it and feel a sense of realism with that one. But now we've got two champions that I think would be fantastic matchups for Nia Jax. So I'm cool with this outcome. Obviously, I think all of us want to see Asuka get a real push in the main roster at some point. And Ember Moon is fantastic, but, you know.
Mixed match?
I've caught a little bit of it. It doesn't really... there's just too much wrestling, and it's just another thing, right? You know what I mean?
It was very indie, and it's very funny. Like, Asuka this week hugged Naomi, and The Miz was like, violently upset of like there's no hugs in wrestling, and it like the spots is what I mean indie wise, like the like the comedy, like that's not really there. But no, the Royal the woman's what they call Battle Royal, really good. 20 I think 10 what is it, you think half was like the, I'm trying to think people they didn't have in the Royal Rumble from the past. You know what I mean? I think Alondra Blaze.
Sure. Yeah, there was definitely some names. But, Kelly we also saw later on, and actually we can just talk about this one now. We did see another blast from the past with the Trish Stratus and Lita versus Mickie James, Alicia Fox. So this one was just a really fun match. And Trish Stratus, by the way, just looks awesome. Lita looked like she was struggling a little bit. But
yeah, it was. So Alexa Bliss, we'll talk about this real quick. Alexa Bliss was supposed to be in it. But due to concussion, arm injury, I think it was concussion.
She had the arm injury first, and now it's a concussion. Yeah, so she was pulled off the show.
But she was there. She went to the ring with them.
Yeah.
Like as like a manager type. And she, the shitty little hill stuff in the match. But no, Trish and Lita. Great bumps. You're absolutely right, Lita. A little bit here and there.
Yeah, but she was known for like the super athletic style. And so it's hard to continue to do that as you get older, right?
Yeah.
Like, think about a guy like Ric Flair who could wrestle like into his, you know, 60s because he was able to. It's like, yeah, I do my shimmy. I yell woo. I chop you in the chest, like this kind of stuff. But when you're known for, you know, moonsaulting off the top rope and stuff.
Her moonsault is one of the best in the business. Like,
sure.
When I help people and when I'm trying to work on a moonsault myself, like, that's one of the ones
that's got to be a scary move, man.
Well, because you're so scared of like landing on your neck. But the problem is you don't like. The second you can't do it off the second rope because you're afraid your feet are going to hit the top.
Yeah, but so also, that'll catch you on the way. Yeah.
Well, and you got to. It's not just being on the top rope. It's if you don't want to miss the person, you got to like be able to your trajectory right and everything. But no, it's basically landing on your stomach. Like
sure.
You're just flipping.
Like, yeah, but at some point you're not looking at the ground and where you're landing.
It's your head. So when they train you, wherever your eyes are going, that's where you're going to land. So as long as you like keep your head up. Your body's going to help you rotate into
Now, when
it.
You practice this, are you jumping onto a mat first and then figuring that out and then eventually like taking the mat away?
We take
landing.
Foam. We'll put things of foam together. Some people do like a stunt, like a foam pit. Some people do it at like a, if you don't have like a foam pit at your like local wrestling school, there's usually like a trampoline, like what trampoline parks that have foam and everything. And they do it like that. But no, like you just do it in the ring and some people just lay down and take it. Usually you have like the new trainees take all your new moves.
Yeah.
So like if you ever have a new move you're working on, you're like, hey, lay down. You're taking this.
So, okay. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is it generally considered safer to have no person there than to have a person there?
The problem with that, yes, I think you are correct.
Like you see like Shane McMahon, oftentimes he never hits anybody with his moves.
Yeah.
The guy always gets out of the way.
And I think the with that, if you're training with someone not there, like when I, what did I do? Oh, I did a Vader splash one time and I couldn't do it correctly because I needed to have that person there because I needed to know where to plant my elbows.
Ah, okay.
So when they do it, you flex, basically you're trying to flatten out your stomach and everything, but your elbows and your knees are trying to catch too. So you're not putting all your weight on them.
Yeah.
So I needed someone kind of there and that's what the moonsault's kind of different, but you just want to see. Everything's a little different. Usually it's better with a person, but like I'm not going to have you take.
Well, because they can like moves. They can kind of lift up and cushion down as you like. You always see them do that thing where they go into like a little bit of a like reverse kind of plank or something, almost like they legs go up, head goes up, arms go up a little
bit. You take your arm and it's like you're about to catch someone. I'm going to try to hold on. Let me finagle. So you want to like pull it.
Yeah.
So like your arms are holding by your side. So
yeah. And then you just kind of let it come back down as they land. That's really interesting. Speaking of moonsaults, Io Shirai, who we've only seen in the Mayan Classic. Is that correct? Yeah. She's not had any NXT matches or anything yet.
I don't think so.
This was the final of the Mayan Classic. Io Shirai and Toni Storm. So a lot of people apparently thought her name was Lo, and this was maybe the first time they'd heard her name pronounced out loud. No, it's Io, I-O, but pronounced Io. And she is, like, if you think Kairi Sane is a badass, you haven't seen nothing yet, because Io Shirai is insane. And this was a fantastic match, and I really did think that they were going to put Io Shirai over. They did not. Storm won this.
Yeah, so Toni goes over. The reason why I thought Toni is because Toni is an indie darling.
Sure.
Kind of like how Adam Cole, when he made his debut in NXT, he was on fire. What got a champion? Like, he got a belt in the first few months. EC3, a little different. He was a big indie guy, but more Impact and everything. And same with Ricochet. Huge push right off the bat, too. But that's what with Toni, indie darling. She was one of the best indie. Was she in the Mae Young last year?
I can't remember. Yeah, I looked up the two rosters. There was a little bit of crossover, but not a lot. It was mostly all new names.
But Toni's great. I'm glad she won. I always wanted to book her before she got signed with the company I was with. That was one of the names I always threw out. But
yeah,
she is where she's supposed to be. And congratulations to her.
Yeah, absolutely. This is another fantastic match. We're going to see a lot from these two going forward. And it was all, like, this was another where it's like, this is a showcase of what women's wrestling looks like now, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you got Io doing just insane moves off the top rope. And everything she does looks super fluid and also looks impactful, because she's a small girl, similar to Kairi, right? Like, they're little Japanese girls, right? Like, they're
probably 5'1", 5'2".
Yeah. So it's hard for them. It's hard to make it believable. But then what they do is they kind of go all out with all the moves they do, right? So Kairi, similar, where when she did the splash off the top to the outside, like, she just hit that so hard. It looked like she got really hurt, to be honest, on that.
Yeah.
And she sold it like she did, too. But that's the thing. Like, her elbow's the same way. It's completely extended, gets up in the air, straight down on the elbow, no, like, kind of half-assing it. That's kind of what you got to do, and that's what these girls are amazing at. Another amazing match. And then you got, well, now I just mentioned Kairi. You got Kairi and Shayna Baszler.
So
this was insane. Yeah. First of all, yeah, like I just mentioned, the splash to the outside was insane. Or crossbody, I guess it was, to the outside. But Shayna just, man, she is scary. Like, she just looks like she just wants to murder everybody. And I believe that she can. She's just so freaking good.
In, like, the ending and everything in their match. Like, the whole pirate princess thing, I believe in suspending my disbelief, but man, takes me a little bit more for that one. A pirate, was it? That's what it is, right? Pirate princess.
Yeah, she's a pirate princess. Yeah. I really loved when she came out and she had the, So it's getting a little hot in there. She had the, she had the title in like a little like pirate booty box type of thing. And she like opened it up and then the belt was in there. She's just fun. I think it was, I was watching, I can't remember who said this, but I was watching a video about this, and someone was saying like they just love the fact that there's probably someone out there who's not watched wrestling before, and someone has to explain to them that she thinks she's a pirate, and that's her gimmick.
I like that I'm saying that the pirate princess is ridiculous a little bit, but I'm wearing a blue meanie costume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a guy who just decided to wear a bunch of blue and a half shirt.
Yeah.
And that was his gimmick.
Because I'm like being very hypocritical right now. Like, I just can't put my finger on this pirate princess.
And I'm dressed up like a murderer who just comes out and clubs. Now he just has a hammer. That's his gimmick now.
Just a giant hammer. And that's how the match was so good. And if we want like the ending a little bit, the rest of the four horsewomen. Mm-hmm. So we got Shayna Baszler, Ronda Rousey, of course, being two. And then the other two who I don't know their names, but they're the MMA.
They're all coming from MMA, whether it's UFC or others. Jesus Christ. Hold on. This is hard, man. We're working hard for the money here. Okay.
Go for the blue. Easy peasy. Leave it on all day. I work for like 8 hours this weekend.
Wow. Wow.
But that's what. So they teased that, and they also had a backstage segment. So Shayna Baszler goes over, gets the championship. It was good. NXT is just on fire. And I know you guys have said this for years, and most fans have, but NXT is just great.
Yeah, and it doesn't. There was a period there where I thought maybe they were running out of steam a little bit. And then they just reloaded, right? They just straight up reloaded, and it was like, oh my God, they're back.
Like when Rude and Shinsuke and like everyone kind of went up a little bit.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like, okay. And then like Ricochet, EC3, Undisputed Era, like they are just killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like guys like Dream and stuff kind of came out, and it was,
did
like,
you watch
oh
last
God.
Week? Did you watch NXT at all last week?
The only thing I watched was the triple threat match. It was, the Adam Cole, Ricochet and Pete Dunne.
You see the Gargano turn?
No. Oh, I heard about it, but I have not watched it yet. Yeah. He came out and attacked Aleister Black, right?
Yeah. And like, I think Aleister Black got attacked before. So kind of like the whole, when they broke up Enzo.
He's
and
the guy you attack. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then now Ciampa is kind of like, let's put DIY back together.
Oh, damn. Let's be assholes. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, like, he tweeted that out, and he's like, maybe a DIY reunion. And I think like that would be so good.
Oh, I know. Right. Yeah. I love how this is the thing about wrestling that I think, you know, like Glow talked about there was the whole scene where she's like, oh, it's a soap opera.
Yeah.
And this is like what soap operas do, where like the storylines never end, right? Like you just keep going. Crazy, crazy, crazy shit happens. Alliances form, alliances break up, alliances reform, then new alliances, then blah, blah. Like it's constant, right? It never stops. So there's so much like cool shit where you can look back 2-3 years ago and be like, look at what it was then. And look what it is. Like, I love when they reference themselves. Right. And there was some of that in the
Princess versus the MMA fighter.
Sure.
Like, sure. Yeah, it was great. And they had a great match. And
by the way, I was watching it without sound. And when she went into the crowd, I thought, holy shit, they just hurt somebody in the front row. And then I realized what was going on. But yeah, it was awesome. In the end. We got the title going back to Shayna Baszler, who I'm happy for, because that means we're going to get more Kairi Sane, Shayna Baszler, you know, and I think that's good. All right. Now we'll talk briefly, because this match was fun, but it was just long. You know, it was a thing. Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Natalya versus the Riot Squad. Everybody looked good. Everybody got their shit in, and it was fun. That's kind of where that match was for me. Right.
You said it all. Yep. Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Yeah. And it was one of those things we'll get to this a little bit later, but this is part of one of the things I think this pay-per-view did so well, which was pacing and match order, except for this next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair was not the main event. And I understand why, but I also think it should have been. I understand why it was not, but it's unfortunate sometimes when you put a match like this and then you have to have somebody go on after. Because nobody could top this.
Well, because it's also a gimmick match.
Sure.
So like
last woman standing.
Like, everyone's ready for the gimmick. Like we're with a last woman standing, and then we go to Nikki Bella and Ronda Rousey. But the problem is, I think, is like this match was really long. This would have been a great go home. But also, like, you're more invested in Becky and Charlotte. Like, mm-hmm. it's been going on forever. They've been friends for years. Like, you truly want to root for Becky, but she's mean now. But when Nikki and Ronda, you're like, you like Ronda.
They were literally friends like a month ago, and then they had one turn and there's been no matches and a contract signing, right?
They threw it together. Yeah, it was just something real quick. The contract signing with the table still being put together still blows my mind.
Sure.
Table wasn't even touched. But like Charlotte and Becky, and this is what people were like, one of the biggest like reviews online is like, they killed it. It could be like the match of the night, the match of their, like I said this while watching, I think this will be their favorite match.
Like, yeah.
Best friends, if they look upon it, like they say this match.
I think if you saw, if you talk about top 10 matches in WWE this year, it's in there. I think it's in that list.
It was just so good. It was, man.
I mean, it had big spots. It had like tons and tons of psychology. Amazing selling, by the way, at the end there by Charlotte. That was insane. Mm-hmm. I was like, did she just get like stabbed in the back by a piece of that table?
When she hit, so when they were counting the last 10.
Yeah.
You honestly thought that she was putting just every iota, every muscle in her body. And then like that last step.
Yeah.
She just couldn't make it. And you're like,
she by tried. The way, it's one of the great, this is one of the great things about what she did there is that a lot of times in these last man standing matches, you get this whole thing where they can't barely do anything. And then at 9, it's like just a pop up, right? Like I'm back. And to me, that's one of the tropes in wrestling that kind of takes you out of it a little bit, right? You're just like, you want, like, there's, I've seen a few times where people have done this correctly, and I think this was one of those times where it's got to look like you're almost there, you're struggling, and then you actually get there or you don't, not struggling, suddenly not struggling, right? And this is what she did really well.
If they just didn't get up.
Yeah.
Like, think about if, like, on 8, like, their hand rises and they just try to get to their knees and they can't. Like, yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
And that's kind of what you got here, where she, like, and Becky in the background is like, I can't believe she's actually going to get up, and then she doesn't, right? Yeah. Also, we had Becky literally bury Charlotte at one point in this match.
I said that too. I'm like, oh, they're burying Charlotte. Yeah. LOL. Like, I thought that was fun.
And that, I thought it was a good kind of tease to oftentimes in last man standing matches. This is how somebody wins, right?
Yeah.
Is they use some sort of prop. They handcuff you to something. They tie up your legs. We've even seen in the past a forklift be pressed down upon somebody's chest to hold them down. There's all sorts of different ways you can prevent somebody from getting up. She got up out of the, what, 3 different announcer's chairs, a whole bunch of chairs, steel chairs from the ring. They were chanting ECW, by the way, at one point in this match, which you don't see a lot in women's matches. And both of them just killed it, man. This match was insane. I want to go back and rewatch this match, and that doesn't usually happen in a pay-per-view.
I feel like it's like a movie where you hear it's really, really hyped up, and then you go in and it was even better than what you thought it was going to be.
Right.
So, like, you knew this match was going to be really good. And then you're like, will they be able to, like, live up to the hype? And then they went past it, and you're like, incredible. Like, that's when a good thing's put together.
This proves to me that these right now are the two best women wrestlers in the WWE right now, because they just, I mean, Jesus, it was phenomenal. Now, I'm not going to talk smack about the next match, because it was also good, but it was just, I think, an unfortunate situation for Ronda Rousey and Nikki Bella, because they did go out and put on a really sick show. Ronda showed again that she understands wrestling at an amazing level for somebody who's been wrestling the short amount of time she has.
I want a squash match. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I wanted 20 seconds.
Pounding Nikki Bella and then armbar. Oh,
great. Loved it.
So Nikki Bella got some stuff in. She hit her, what do they call her move? She gets them in the torture rack and then she slams them down. She actually hit her finisher.
Yeah.
And Ronda, like, this is one of the things too that I think Ronda has done really well for somebody who's just getting into the business, is like, we did see in an earlier match a botched pin attempt. I think it was in the Trish Stratus, Lita, Mickey James, Alicia Fox match where Alicia was supposed to break up a pin and didn't.
Yeah. There was one too in the last woman standing match, to go back a little bit. The ref, so the figure four in the ladder, you remember that?
Yeah.
He had to, with his foot, scoot the chair over.
Oh, sure.
Becky.
Yeah.
So if you watch like his right foot. But like with that, and that's why, like, I never like to point out people's botches, because every single person, everyone botches. It's a natural thing. Like, think, like, if I would go up against like a piece of foam, I can make that piece of foam do what I want. But if I'm going against a person, like, there's so many different things that can just, like, timing can be bad. Now, they are professionals and this is supposed to be the top level, but they're people. Like, this is what I was saying with the Brie Liv Morgan thing weeks ago. they're just people. It's fine.
And they're calling a lot of this stuff in the ring as it. I mean, there's obviously in a pay-per-view and at this level, there is a general outline of what they're doing. But there's a lot of like filler. Okay, we're going to get to this spot.
I say it's like a story. I say it's like a paper for school. You got your beginning, middle, and end. You know, your big spots. Then you fill out everything in between and the during.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, yeah. So if somebody pulls a little bit differently, and that's why there's all these little things like you talked about last week, the whole, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, you know, the hot tag thing, palm is down, palm is up. These are like the little tells and signals they get to each other. And sometimes the signals get a little crossed. But, you know, this is one thing that I want to say about Ronda Rousey is things like kicking out at the last second. Like, that is a skill, man. That is hard. We've seen some, like, I think the best one I ever saw was Undertaker. Was it Undertaker, Shawn Michaels? Maybe it was. Maybe it was Triple H. I can't remember. But it was at WrestleMania. And I swore it was three. But when you watch the replay, he kicks out at it was like 2.9, you know?
Yeah.
And Ronda Rousey has got that down. She's also got the facial expressions down. I love the Brie Bella getting involved spot where she was just pissed and holding her arm. Like all of this stuff was done really well.
Yeah, they did just, good post moves. They did some like outside posts. Like that was good. Like so, you talked about the tag thing. So when you take a post, you put your hand and then you sell with your other.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronda does it full force.
Yeah.
Like she does it with every, and I think that's why Ronda's so good too. She's not holding back. She's putting in every single thing she can to make herself better in this. And I think that's why the match, like, I wasn't looking forward to it, but it ended up being a pretty good match. Like it wasn't like it was like some of the stuff like Ronda does reminds me of AJ a little bit, is like how he can go in that calf crusher from anywhere.
Sure.
Like they did a arm bar from like the top rope. Remember she like grabbed her arm and they kind of like, and I'm like, man, this is just a really good match. And now should it have been the go home? Whatever.
That's the only problem I can have with this entire pay-per-view is that I think these two matches are out of order. But
if that's your only problem,
yeah, that's a pretty small problem.
So there could have been a lot worse.
So the other thing that I do want to say here too, is that in the past, I've watched Nikki Bella matches, and she hasn't looked great all the time. She's not the best. Like, she is the better of the Bellas, but she looked really good here. And I'm wondering, is Ronda making her look good here? And I think that's what's happening.
That's why I think of AJ too.
Sure.
So I've heard a lot of interviews to people talking about AJ. He flies around the ring for you. Bumping is one of, I think, the most important thing in a match. Like, if you just sell someone's move like they murdered you, that's what they want. That makes that person look better. That makes you, like, makes the match flow so much better. And I think that's what Ronda, like, she's just doing everything for them. And someone that can build up another person and not go down to their level, but bring them up to yours. Great.
And it's crazy that she's the one doing that when Nikki's been in the ring for years and she's been in the ring for a handful of months, right? Like, that's just nuts.
And I think that's the thing, like, Brie has, or Nikki has been for what, like 8-10 years, but she's taken little lapses, like little, like what we just saw her from, what, a month ago since March?
Sure.
Right?
Like, so. He's got to go shoot Total Bellas Live. For a while.
And they're on
Total Divas, right? Yeah. Like, they're Total posts. Everything. Yeah.
They were on Jimmy Fallon last week. Like, they're doing a lot. Like, and that's why I think Evolution overall, out of 900, I give it an 800.
I'm with you, man. I'm going to give it 801.
It was good.
It was fantastic. If anybody out there has not watched it, dude, seriously, this to me is a very rewatchable pay-per-view. Now, I want to bring up one. The other bad thing that happened during this pay-per-view is the they promoed Crown Jewel. And I thought that was a little tacky on their part.
I'm glad you said that, too. So that's what I was about to say. We were going to go from a really, really good pay-per-view being Evolution to let's see this just flaming turd they do next
week. I want to watch the dumpster fire.
And there's a video out there. I'll put it in Discord. Or I'll send it to you if I can find it. Where they do the Crown Jewel ad at Evolution.
Yeah.
And people start booing.
In the crowd, just people were booing? Because this was not on the actual
Yeah.
Like broadcast, right? Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. It maybe I'll need to go back and watch the end of the broadcast, but they said people would just boot it out where they had to like cut it early.
Really? So, wow. Yeah. I did watch. Did you see the little John Oliver thing where he showed a clip of Undertaker coming out and they're all like, yeah, Undertaker. And then he goes, at Crown Jewel. And everyone goes, boo. Like immediately. And you're like, booing the Undertaker. Okay. That's where we're at now. Anyway, yeah, so definitely everybody go check out the Evolution pay-per-view. It was just awesome. Yeah. Awesome, awesome, awesome. All right, so you mentioned to me on a text message that House of Hardy was out. Now,
right after. It was right after the pay-per-view.
Did it come on right after? It was like literally the... Okay.
That's what that means that they're when I was watching it.
They're pushing it then, if they're throwing it on right after the pay-per-view, and that's a good sign. So no spoilers, but just sell me on why this is something that I need to check out.
So I think it was more, they're giving him a story. So now what they've done is they're going to start doing holiday specials of House of Hardy is what they're doing. And this is like a reality show of Broken Matt Hardy.
So is it featuring like all of the characters we know and love, like Prince Maxwell and all that kind of stuff? Okay.
Even the animals. The animals were like, that's when I texted you. I was crying. And it's them throwing a Halloween party. And it was like, of course, that he brings back a lot of people. He's been putting it on his Twitter, so don't go to his Twitter if you don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
But they brought back people. It was, man, it was so funny. It's 22 minutes. If you have 22 minutes to spare.
I got 22 minutes to spare.
And it's just him planning a Halloween party. And there's a storyline. So this is not just saying, hey, this is us throwing a party. There's a storyline that's now going to go to each. And there's a super villain that is a hooded figure.
So you know what I envision? And this is just without having watched it at all. But just the Woken universe. The broken Woken universe. I kind of envision his show to be, this is what I kind of want out of it anyway. I want it to be like Pee-wee's Playhouse. With Matt Hardy instead of
it basically is.
Now really? That you say that's great.
Like it basically is, and they have the guests come in and he talks to them, and it's just so funny. Like if we can talk about it next week, if you finally watch it,
my plan is to watch it tonight because so I got off work at midnight last night, and then I had to rewatch a couple of things from Evolution, and then it was late, and But definitely tonight, that will be my go to bed.
He tweeted out a Christmas one. He said like he's teasing doing a Christmas House of Hardy, but it's so funny.
So this is to me what I think the network is missing because the Edge and Christian stuff was kind of fun. I remember when they tried to do a prank show, stuff like that. But to me, what I really think that the network is missing is episodic stuff that builds existing characters, right? Yeah. Not like them doing something weird.
Show does that. Yeah. Like they brought in current talent, and I think the new season is going to go up sometime in November, I think is the date, because they're doing sabbatical from their podcast, I think, getting ready for all this. And like that was really good. I watched the Foley show. That was really good.
Yeah.
And I met Noelle, and she's like 6'5". And like that, and like TV doesn't transition that. And then some of the network stuff, but something like this, and like I like Camp WWE, but WWE is just not very like it's like 2 years between seasons.
Yeah.
Like when they put out a show, they wait a while. But this House of Hardy thing, really good. I would recommend it.
Like So to be like, okay, let me pitch some shows that I want to see. I want to see Braun Strowman doing normal everyday stuff. Right. Like I want to see like him trying to pick up a cup of coffee, but he can't. So it crushes it every single time. And it's like hard for him to live. Like, I just want to see Braun Strowman in the world.
Like a normal day.
Yeah. Like trying to do normal human things, but everything's really difficult because he's such a monster. Right?
When you said that, I thought of like a Dirty Jobs but with Braun Strowman. Him going to other places.
Oh, my God. That'd be so good. Like, I want to see them do it in character, though. Like, I want to see Kevin Owens just like shit talking everybody. Like Kevin Owens is your bus driver, and he's just like
or like a night show. I could see a Kevin Owens.
Oh my God, a Kevin Owens, like a Tonight Show type of thing.
And comedy he just show. Rags on everyone.
Oh my God, a late night talk show with Kevin Owens. Like this is the kind of like I want to see them in character, and I do love the things like the ride along stuff. I like the the dinner thing that they do.
Dinner
you
for
know.
Three. Yeah.
That stuff is fun because it pulls the curtain back a little bit. And you get to hear, you know, like I really enjoyed the one with New Day, right? Because I like all these guys. I like hearing them talk about how this came together and how much they like
each
other.
And the stuff. Behind the scenes yeah. is just so good.
But how about a New Day children's show? Like where they're like hosting a Sesame Street type of thing with puppets and weird stuff in their pancakes.
Or a cooking show?
Yeah, or like a cooking show. They're showing us how to make bootios and pancakes. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that I want to see. I'm glad that something like this is happening with House of Hardy. All right, now we're going to get to something we wanted to get to last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to talk about this because this is something that you definitely have experience with. And I'll admit something about my wrestling fandom. I had not been to an indie show in my life until we went to indie shows when we went to WrestleMania. Me and Justin went to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
That was my
so
first
you went
indie
to,
show.
Yeah, was it Wrestle?
We went to What Culture Pro Wrestling. And
oh, yeah.
We went to the Ring of Honor show, which was their WrestleMania, essentially. Yeah, Supercard of Honor. And so this was not so, you know, like I'm used to Raw, and now Raw is paced. I'm used to, at that point, I'd been to a few like main events or house shows for WWE. I'd been to a couple of Raws, I'd been to some SmackDowns. But all of the experience I really had as being in the crowd for a show was things like the Oakland Coliseum and WWE, right? And they do very specific stuff when it's a house show where you get, you know, you get some kind of basic matches. You get some of the current feuds go on, but it's nothing really ever kind of, no storylines really move forward. You just get a lot of just fun, good matches. And then at the end, you get some dark match or some go-home match where the faces get to win in the end and everybody cheers and is happy and goes home. Right.
So is there anything weird that happens at your house shows? Like, is anything weird happen?
At like at a WWE one that I've been to?
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, I remember one of the first ones I went to, Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton had a match and Daniel Bryan put him through a table. And I was like, holy crap, that wasn't on TV at all. And they did that. I remember seeing Adam Cole in an NXT house show get his head busted open the night before War Games. But outside of that, no, not really. Oh,
the,
I do remember.
The reason I bring that is because, like, so where I live in Ohio, I can go in 20 minutes. I can go to West Virginia and Kentucky as well. I can go to all. So I live in one state and then I go to all, the other two quite often because they're so close. And they do one in West Virginia. That's where, like, the closest. It's like 20 minutes away. It's where Marshall University is, if people know that. And John Cena sings at every one. He sings Country Road, Take Me Home.
Wow. Okay. That is weird.
Every single time. And he says it. He goes, this is my tradition in Huntington, West Virginia. I will do this every single time I come here.
Wow. All right.
Super weird.
So that's he's just decided that that's okay. Mm-hmm. I do actually remember one time I did see a title change at a house show that never made it to it didn't exist.
It was not.
It wasn't part of the canon.
Canon.
Yeah. Del Rio lost his title when he was when he was holding the old WCW belt. He was, because you remember they didn't used to have Raw and SmackDown or Universal or whatever. It was the World Championship and WWE Championship. He was the world champion and he lost it to, I can't even remember. This was back when he had his little valet guy. You remember who I'm talking about?
I bet that was a botch. I bet that was like a botch. Like they were supposed to, like,
possibly.
The ref didn't know the fine or like the go home and like he didn't kick out.
But I've heard that this is a thing that they do sometimes just to make house shows a little more exciting, is they will have random title changes that then the next night at the next house show, they do it back. And then it's like it never happened. And, you know,
but talking about the flow, like we've talked about, like WWE is just, they're really good about it. And you said your first indie show, and that's when I started indie wrestling. My first indie show was after I started wrestling. So give you a little bit backstory on me.
You mean like going to one?
Yeah, like my first real indie show was after I even became an indie wrestler. So that's why I just watched WWE so much. My first live show, wrestling show, my same day, went to my first indie show that was in that morning, and I had a house show for WWE that night. And my parents, most people, like, they watch TV. Of course, everyone's a fan. Most people are, and they grew up as a fan. My parents didn't really like wrestling. Still to this day, like, it's unsafe, like, for me even doing it. But watching it, they're like, they kind of remember, like, the Attitude Era. So I only got to watch it on the weekends. So, like, going to a show, if I can't even watch it on TV, I can't even ask. So, like, that's why, as an adult, it was my first time. And talking about the flow, I'll give a little backstory on like why this came to be. You were streaming one night. I was at this show in Columbus. Not going to name the name. It was a 5-hour long show.
Yeah.
The WWE pay-per-views are sometimes.
How many matches was that show?
Nine matches. Start at 5:30, ended at 10:30. But the thing with indie shows too, they don't always run on time.
Sure.
And I'm okay with them going like 15, 20. This was an hour long. And I wasn't even there. I went to go eat.
Yeah.
And I came back because all the guys I wanted to see, all my friends were at the end. And the guys I wanted to see, I never saw Space Monkey before. He was on that show.
Ooh, Space Monkey. He came out with the bananas and everything. And he's great. He's hilarious. Oh, man.
And I think he was really good. And of course, there was another guy, Myron Reed, that I really, really like. He's a local indie guy, well, like East Coast. But beside the point, the matches didn't flow correctly.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about at Evolution, I'll use that as the example. You want to put a big, like what we talked about, like the Riot Squad, you want to put that in between like two bigger matches?
Yeah.
As like think of it like a sandwich. You don't do like all three pieces of bread together and then like stuff on the end.
Sure.
There's stuff in between.
All the meat, then all the bread, then all the cheese.
You can tell I'm hungry right now.
Sure.
And like that's. And that's what happens.
Put a
slice
of lettuce in there somewhere. Break that up.
You got to put some flavor.
Yeah.
And that's what this would be like two like hardcore matches, and they would put two lucha matches back to back. But if you would just like switch them,
sure,
and then put like lucha match, hardcore match, lucha match, hardcore match, because I feel bad because one match I saw like 12 Hurricanranas, and then the next match it kind of took that away. Like if that guy wanted to do it, I'm just like, well, I just want to.
Like, I've seen Hurricanranas, bro. Like, we know. You're flippy.
This guy's a newer, and this is one thing I don't know if it's in everybody's indie wrestling, but like on the East Coast where we are, there's a lot of guys at 20 to 29 that just are like, you know what? I have some money. Let's do an indie show.
Sure.
Indie shows are
And then
are
they
expensive.
Start hiring everybody, right? And then they get they're like, oh, you know who I need? I need this guy. Now I also need this guy. And then you just have too many goddamn ads.
And you just have too many. And that's what he's like. I just couldn't turn down the guys. And that's what I talked about last week. If you ever stiff someone on pay, you're an awful human being. Because those are those people's lives.
Sure.
And they're coming to you sometimes from like Chicago, like at like hours. Like I saw a guy drive 6 hours for free. Like he did it knowing he wasn't going to get paid. And like if you pay some, if you basically like an agreed upon, like if they drive 6 hours and you don't pay them, awful person.
Yeah.
You should
fuck off and die.
And that's what with the flow. So that's the matches, and that's just putting matches together. And like, I get it. He's newer and everything. Like people are newer. Like there's newer like bookers and promoters, but also the flow of a match as a wrestler. That's different too.
What you're talking about too is I think what's really important is that you can have nine matches on an indie show.
Yeah.
But easy. They can't all be 25, 30 minute matches where everybody gets their shit in and there's like seven near falls, right?
And that's what it was. And that's what and I was looking because I have the card on my phone. So like that's why I'm like, okay, I want to go see this match. Okay, we'll go eat during this one, whatever. And it was like, you can't give everyone their time. And like that's just being able to do a good like we had an indie show this weekend. It was 2 hours. We had six matches, good to go. Everything was good. Like because we'll have like a good 20 some minute match with storyline, then you'll have like a 10 minute match in between, or like an 8 minute, like, or you do some gimmick like where a heel cuts a promo and comes out. Like that's why WWE does this. That's what I think WWE gets so much crap for it, because we just understand it. We're like, okay, good match. Promo.
We've seen it for a long time now where it's kind of the expected thing. But if you go to an indie show where you like, this is one thing that I talked about when I used to go to Wrestle Circus all the time, which I sorely miss that promotion, even though I'm about to shit talk it a little bit, is that it was just match after match after match after match, right? Like the match would end and they'd just be like, our next match. And you're just like, I need something. And sometimes they were really sometimes they would do really fun things. Like they'd have like these random 12 man crazy things where a guy like Space Monkey and Gentleman Jervis and a bunch of guys would come out and just do a bunch of silly bullshit, right? And it was great. I like that kind of stuff needed to happen. But then they would have, you know, the Lucha Bros and like Roppongi Vice, and they would go for 20 minutes and you're like, this is amazing, but I'm tired and I need a little moment. I need a moment where I feel like I can get up and get a beer and go to the bathroom.
Like a buffer.
Yeah. And you also are tired as shit By the time you're like four matches from the end. You're not even at the main event, and your voice is gone. You're sweaty. You're just exhausted, and you got a headache. And that's not how you want your crowd to enter the main event, right? You want them to feel fresh and ready when the main event hits, because that's the big moment.
And people talk about that with WrestleMania, because how long Mania is, like, at the end of Mania. See, like
8 hours.
To go. And my wrestling owner, he goes every single year, and he stays from, like, Thursday to Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a lot of wrestling.
That's a lot. It's like, a lot just of wrestling. So much wrestling, and I love wrestling.
People go after it's over. There's another, like, midnight starting show that happens. It's crazy, but it's also, like, a festival of wrestling. Like, everyone's super into it, so that's great. But leaving WrestleMania, I cannot believe me and Justin went out for another drink, because there's physically no way I can imagine now how we were in a state of mind where another drink sounded good. But that's what happened. I don't know.
Well, and I feel like planning like a show is just like planning a day. I'm not going to wake up in the middle, like the first thing in the morning. I'm not going to like go do something incredible. Like, I'm not going to like do this. It's you got to lead up to it.
I start my mornings off with a frog splash, dude. And then I have coffee.
That's how I like it. There's no other way to do it. Yeah. And that's the same as a match. Like, you don't start out a match with a finisher.
Sure.
You work up to it. And that's what Becky and Charlotte did amazingly well. We talked about just the flow.
Yeah. You build slowly to this conclusion.
They kept outdoing their next thing. And that's what you want to see. Mm-hmm. And so I saw this amazing thing. I think I talked about it before, or I may have just told you. A guy ran on two person's shoulders. So they set up as three people, and he ran on the first two shoulders and did a hurricane run on the guy on the third.
Whoa.
Incredible. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And then they got up and did a headlock into a chop. You just took the momentum of a running hurricane rana.
Not everybody can make a rest hold as dope as Kevin Owens.
It's a good clip. That's what they've been showing. I've been seeing on Reddit and all these, some of the things from this show. They're great clips.
Yeah.
But people are like, oh, I heard that match was amazing. Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. But it was just like,
it went in the wrong order.
And this is what I'm learning too. And like, as I told people, and I'll say it again, I'm not the best indie wrestler. I'm far from it. But I have all the pieces. You just got to learn how to put them together.
Yeah.
And I think with this is like, you want to put and do all the big spots first, but you got to lead up to it.
I have a feeling that there is a little bit of this going on where wrestlers understand that at the beginning of the match, they're at their freshest. So that's when it's easiest to do, you know, some kind of create like a 6:30 or something like that. Like, that's when it's the easiest to do it, because your legs are not tired and wobbly and you're all sweaty. But from a match perspective, that's the worst time to do your biggest stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I did see one time a match where I thought it was kind of insane how they started it. And I'm pretty sure, oh God, who is the guy? His character is essentially that he's a werewolf. Do you know who I'm talking about? He got kind of in some hot water because apparently some female wrestlers had some bad things to say about how he acted towards them. Anyway, he used to do Wrestle Circus.
Is this Elgin?
No. Not Big Mike. He's a smaller guy. He's kind of like a lucha guy, but he's
Mr. 450.
Yes, Mr. 450.
Yeah, he came to our show a couple months ago.
So anyway, the match starts, and the very first thing he does is he kicks the guy to the outside, and he does, you know, like a spinning, flipping, whatever thing into the crowd. And that was like the first move of the match. And everyone was like, holy shit, what are we in store for? And then he just like kept up that energy for the rest of it. And it was awesome. Yeah. If you do that, okay. And it was also a pretty short match, too. Like, I think it only went about 5 minutes.
The Bucks do this really well, too. Like, super kick starting out.
Yeah, just go nuts from the beginning. And just like, if you want to see a match where this kind of stuff can work, it's the final match of All In, right, where they got not much time and they had to get all your shit in. That was like, okay, you start strong, you finish strong. But the problem is you start strong.
You got to keep it up as long as you don't dip.
Not everybody can do that.
Yeah.
By the way, I also want to point something out. That this is why Joey Ryan gets booked all the time, because he is the perfect, let's take a moment, laugh a little bit, suck on a lollipop, and play with our dicks, and then we'll get back to some like crazy ass 20-minute match, right? Joey Ryan, perfect. If you want to break your show up into promotions, just put a Joey Ryan match in the middle, and you're gold.
Well, he's a good buffer, and that's what people want to see. Like, two indie guys that you never heard of can do an incredible, amazing match, but a good buffer is hard. So if you want to do really good indie match that people don't know, and then Joey Ryan as a buffer, and then another good indie match, then you just have a really good flow.
Sure.
And that's what we like to do with the shows we do. When they put it together, when I sit there, when I listen in, it's you want to have them. We always want to have a new, like an indie talent that the older guys may not know, and then an older guy that the younger generation may not know, like introducing like a Gangrel to this newer generation that they may not know of, like Children. And that may not have been a great example to talk about Children and Gangrel, but that's beside the point. And it's always like indie wrestlers.
Tommy
too,
Dreamer.
You may not know. Perfect. Yeah. Tommy Dreamer. Like a Billy Gunn. Like if the younger generation doesn't know, then they can see this. And that's what we want to do with indie wrestlers as well. So basically like a subconscious, like we're like, you're here for these people, but you're also watching these really, really good workers.
Yeah, it's to me one of the biggest things in wrestling I think some people don't get is like elevating everybody, right? Yeah. And the way to do it is not let everybody do a 20-minute match where they all get their shit in, because then people don't remember any of the matches. They're all just blend together into one long thing. And that is, I think, something like there's a lot of indie wrestling tropes we can get into. Chanting stupid shit, trying to be the star of the show as the audience. That's another thing you can talk about. But what I really hope that, because we are technically in a golden age of indie wrestling right now.
So good.
I think, to a certain extent,
NWA, yeah.
Sure. I mean, even without all, it's just like there's just so much good shit going on. But I think even though we can say that, it is also a dangerous moment for indie wrestling where I don't want the industry of independent wrestling to start liking the smell of their own farts, if I can use a South Park reference, right? And it's like at a certain point, you still got to remember you're putting on a show, and a show needs to, you know, bring the audience in and out. It needs to have its ups and downs. It needs to, at the end, be a well thought out 3-act performance type of thing, if you want to put it that way. And sometimes they're not doing that. Sometimes it's just a bunch of matches. And blah, you just vomit them on the audience, right?
And there's a behind the scenes on that as well. With WWE, they're all booked for WWE. They always do that. We have people like we may have a guy that wants to be booked before intermission because he may have something that like another show that night. He may be double booked, or like so you have to move stuff around willy nilly at the last moment when you didn't know, or if a guy just leaves. You may not know, like if he's like, hey, I need my match switched up for whatever reason, or if something happens, like that's with Halloween, they're like, hey, man, I have a Halloween party. Well, yeah, you kind of did this, but it.
Well, also, I've seen Wrestle Circus, the wrestler's plane was delayed, shit like that. I mean,
it happens all the time.
And
I've always wanted to. So Wrestle Circus, I think, ended before. I think it was right when I started listening to the podcast. It was like really it was taken off near the end, and then it took its sabbatical, whatever.
Yeah, I think it just kind of took a break and then never came back, basically.
And some of the wrestlers we bring in here in Ohio talk about Wrestle Circus. Like, I always say, what places do you love working? And some of the time I get Wrestle Circus. That's when I get.
Well, you know why, too? Because the promoters, it was a husband-wife duo, they made sure, like, they were paying out of pocket. And everybody got paid. And everybody got to do the thing they wanted to do. They weren't telling them what to do. And they did have some really good continuing stuff. This is why, and we talked about it briefly before the show, Hood Slam is a must because Hood Slam gets this, right? Hood Slam is a show. It's an all-encompassing show with a beginning, middle, and end and a very well thought out structure. It's if you want to see indie wrestling done right.
I live on the other side of the country.
Go check out some fucking Hood Slam.
And I want to see Hood Slam incredibly bad.
Yeah. You can watch it on Twitch
from the show,
but you're not gonna get you're not gonna get that secondhand high that you're gonna get.
When the first time I heard about it, this is from the podcast when you and Drew were talking about it, and it was Drugs Bunny, and he quit doing drugs until like what he got the title, or like
so. Yeah, the storyline was that he went clean because he wasn't able to win the title, and then he got clean, and then that was what kind of pushed him to be able to. It was, you know what it was? It was a CN Almas kind of storyline. Right. Mm-hmm. Where he stopped partying so much and then he was able to win the title. Yeah. But then they were like teasing him with it. And then also the story is if he gets some little coke, it's like Popeye spinach type stuff. Oh, man. It, the whole thing is beautiful, man.
I want to see it so bad. Yeah. I want to go.
All right. Well, it's going to happen. We're going to make it happen. Speaking of which, if you guys want to help make that happen, the way to do that is patreon.com/1900wrestling. This has been another fantastic, super fun show. And I want to thank everybody who's with us live in the chat room, which nowadays will be streamed on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WillyDills. You can also find the YouTube VODs on youtube.com/WillyDills. You can find the downloadable version of this show, all the places where you find your favorite podcast. Before we say goodnight tonight, Lane, what's going on with you? Where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Lane the Main. You can find me in our Discord. And then if you just want to talk, this is what I told people. If you ever have a question about indies, if you ever have a question about like, hey, have you met this person? Talk to me. I'm just a dude.
Hell yeah.
And what are you doing nowadays?
You can check me out on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/WillyDills. Like I just mentioned, I'll be streaming a lot of Hearthstone. Also, check out the Angry Chicken podcast. We talk about Hearthstone on Twitter. I am at WillyDills, where sometimes I rant and rave about political stuff. Sometimes I try to motivate people in a positive way. Sometimes I drunkenly rant. You never know what you're going to get. But anyway, thanks again to everybody for listening. And we'll see you next time on 1-900-WRESTLING. But until then, be dialing!